good all keeping warm? Yeah, the winter comes quite quickly, huh? Sneaked up behind us and come really quickly, very cold. But it's amazing. For those who like the cold, this is really, really amazing, isn't it? Yeah, it's good. Well, we've finished Hebrews, and so we've got a gap there that we want to do something which probably will be relevant to you guys, to myself as well, of course, and that is on some of the emotions. And today I'm given three emotions, and they are fear, discouragement, and disappointment. And I'm going to use Psalm 34 to talk about how we can become better. You know, we need not be swamped by all these emotions. We can become better because God always speaks a better word over our lives to make us better even in adversity, even in difficult situations. God wants to make you better because He's got a better word for you this morning. So from Psalm 34. So if you can turn to Psalm 34, keep your page there or your screen there, that will be helpful because I won't be reading the whole psalm to you, but I will be looking at some as we go along. Are we all right? Yes, good. Let's ask the Lord to break this bread for us. Huh? This is a communion with the Lord. Father, we thank you that you are having communion with us through your word and through Psalm 34. I pray this morning you will break bread, O Lord, and feed our soul. O Lord, only you know our soul. Who knows the sorrows of men? Nobody. Sometimes not even ourselves. But you know, O God, the innermost part of us. And Lord, you don't just want to know, you want to help us become better. You want to feed us so that we are filled and we are fulfilled in you. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. David had 600 men round about him in that cave of Adullam where Psalm 34 was written. And this 600 men were spread all over the cave. So many, 600, that's a lot of people. But nobody could take away the fear, the disappointment, the discouragement that David was confronted with. David groaned, he moaned, and you know, he was in a cave. So the cave echoed back his sorrow. Like he says, I'm sad, 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 sad. The cave echoed his sorrow. It was a depressing dialogue. If you are in a cave and you say something really sad and discouraging, it's going to be echoed throughout the cave, and it can be a really depressing dialogue. And that day when David was doing all that in Psalm 34, it was like a broken record of a very sad script. He had a very sad script because he had to run away from his king, who is his boss, and also his own family, his entire family. He had to run away from them, and he had to reside in a foreign country. You talk about fear, discouragement, disappointment. In that cave of Adullam, that was exactly how David was feeling. David was caved in. He was in a sunken place. He had that sinking feeling. You know, sometimes when you're fearful and you are disappointed and you are discouraged, you had that sunken feeling that you are deep somewhere. And for David, it was in a cave. I think if you were there, in that cave, I think you'll be very saddened to actually see David. If you do see David in that cave in your imagination, you will be so saddened to actually see the great champion of Israel. He just killed Goliath. He was a great champion of Israel who killed the giant Goliath, and he was reduced to a poor and helpless man. That was in verse 6. He was reduced to a poor and helpless man. You see, when you are swarmed by fear, disappointment, and discouragement, it can shrink you as a great dreamer. David was a great dreamer. It can shrink a great dreamer to become a weakened person or a withdrawn person. But I've got good news for you. The good news is David did not stay in that cave forever. David did not allow his disappointment to turn into discouragement. David knew that God has something far better than for him to be in that cave of fear, disappointment, and discouragement permanently. It's good news. Disappointment happens because sometimes life is not fair. You have heard what Pastor Mike Keating said 2 weeks ago. Life is not fair. God is good, but life is not fair. And how many of you have also discovered people are sometimes also not fair? And one such person in David's life that is not being fair to him is this person called King Saul. David would actually have been a very good general for King Saul because he killed the giant Goliath. He was a great warrior. He has the skills. He has the charisma. He has the anointing. But King Saul wouldn't have a bow of that. So imagine the disappointment of David when he was stuck in the palace of King Saul. And he kept feeling like he hit the ceiling because his boss didn't believe in him. To King Saul, David will be a real threat. Because David would dethrone him if he was not vigilant. So the only way King Saul could think of to defuse the power of David over him is to annihilate him. So he told his soldiers, kill him. Never mind if David was his son's best friend. See, David and Jonathan were really good friends. They sworn themselves as brothers. So if you think about it, he's like a son to him. David is like a son to King Saul. If Jonathan, the son, and David were brothers, isn't it? But with Jonathan dead in the battle, King Saul has even less obligation to keep David in his kingdom. So David had no choice but to run away, far away, leaving behind his familiarity, leaving behind his family, his food, and his fans. People love him in Israel, but he has got to leave them all behind. The next person David could think of was this person by the name of King Abimelech. David thought King Saul would be most afraid of King Abimelech because he was the king of the Philistines. And so, to hide with the king of Philistines would be a real good escape. Because King Saul is afraid of him and so probably won't pursue David. And so, he sought the king of the Philistines called King Abimelech. The Philistines were very powerful as an army. And Israel has always cowered under the Philistines. And that's why David rose up to kill the giant Goliath. But you see, David was also afraid of King Abimelech. Because you know why? King Abimelech was the king of Goliath. And Goliath was the giant that he killed. You've got a problem there. Why would King Abimelech accept David after he had killed his most famous warrior? Worse still, David was asked to be summoned in the court of King Abimelech. Talk about fear, talk about disappointment, discouragement is all there. He went to be in the court of King Abimelech to justify why he is in the land of the Philistines. David thought, without a doubt, he would be beheaded, just like he beheaded Goliath. You won't want to be there in that court. Have you been in situations where you feel the fear, the disappointment, the discouragement? And some of these situations are caused by other people. It's not caused by you, it's caused by other people. Where your hopes are dashed, your dreams are squashed. You're mad at God, you're mad at others. Sometimes you're also mad at yourself. Why all these things happen? Like, life is not fair. Why have you got to wear lenses that see everything so gray? Why can't you see the colors of life? The colors of life is like have eluded you. You are in that situation. Well, that's not the end of the story. You don't have to stay in that cave forever. Praise God. David chose to believe God for the better. He believed that God will save him from all that he feared in verse 4 of Psalm 34. He also believed that God will save him when he was discouraged, verse 18. He also could feel the closeness of God when he was suffering disappointment in verse 18. What happened was David was saved from the very presence of King Abimelech. Because King Abimelech refused to deal with a madman. If you know the story of Psalm 34, David acted as a madman. And as a madman, he would not pose any threat to King Abimelech. This sermon, I will not go into the rights and the wrongs of David being a madman. But in this case, we know for sure King Abimelech says, go. I don't want to deal with you. I've got enough madmen in my kingdom. You go and do what you want. And so David was free to do what he wants in the land of the Philistines. God gave him a way out. And he did that for over a year, 1 year, 3 months, I think. He was able to recharge his energies. He was able to refresh his spirit so that when his opportunity came for him to be king over Israel, he was in the right frame of mind. David did not miss his purpose. It was a bit delayed, but he did not miss his purpose. The plan and the purpose of God in David's life was not sabotaged because David did not remain in the cave of discouragement. Praise the Lord. Thank God for this story. You know, I get excited when I write this story. I mean, when I rephrase this story the way I did. Life is not fair, Pastor Mike Keating says, but God is good. So the key to victorious living is to become better in dealing with disappointment and fears as they come. Because you know that in God's time, you will be given reappointments. When I was driving here, I said, oh God, reappointment. A little bit hard to understand, but because Joyce Meyer in her sermon talked about reappointment, I use it, of course. I've got to be fair to her. I got to put everything that she says right up there. When I was driving, I said, oh God, how do I put this better? Maybe you've already understood this, but I want to make it even better. If you, not that I am better than Joyce Meyer's quote, you know what I'm saying, but I want to make it better for me to understand. And that is, if you are disappointed, see how you can be real. Yeah, okay. Right? Appointed something else. Be given God's divine appointment. God's divine appointment will still come to us even though we were disappointed over some things that have not come to pass. Know that in God's time, you will be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. If there's a tunnel you're going through, there will be light at the end of the tunnel. Don't stay discouraged for a long time. You can't avoid disappointment, but you can avoid discouragement, and don't stay in the tunnel for a long time. Amen? I was talking with fellow psychologists over lunch. I finished the story of David. Is that good? Is that a good paraphrase of Psalm 34? Yes. I was talking with a fellow psychologist over lunch, and we started talking about the healing process, because we love to talk about, you know, the healing process. And she said something quite profound. She said, in order for healing to take place, she says we must go for the medicine rather than for the soup. Sometimes we go for the soup and then, you know, it soothes, it makes us feel good, and we thought we are healed, but actually it's only the soup. He says you must go for the medicine. So she got me hooked, and I said, oh, okay, tell me what the medicine is. So in counseling terms, she said the medicine for counseling or for therapy is the therapeutic alliance. In other words, it is the relationship between the therapist and the client. When there is that relationship, there can healing can then take place. He said, it's not enough, she said, to just know the methods and the skills of the situation or the condition. He says, you must have that therapeutic alliance. If you only know the methods and the skills, you can get it from Google, you can get it from anywhere. Those are only soup. And that got me thinking. And here's my take after I've read Psalm 34. That's my take. My take is this: the medicine is your alliance with God based on the knowledge of God. It's your relationship with God that's going to heal you, and it's based on the knowledge of God. It's not just being related to God, but you must know God. You must have the right knowledge of God. Because faith comes when your relationship with God is based on the right knowledge about Him. And from Psalm 34, we got some facts about God. And these are facts you need to know if you are in the cave of fears, of disappointment, and discouragement. You need to know that God listens, even in the cave. You might not have your mobile working in the cave, but God has His antenna all alert, even in the cave. God listens. If you read verse 4 in Psalm 34, it says, I went to the Lord for help, and He listened. And then in verse 6 and 17, it says, I prayed to the Lord, and He heard me. You pray, He heard you. And therefore, based on that right knowledge of God, you confess aloud to God. He says, Father, I know you are with me in this disappointment. I know you are with me in this situation. I'm deeply hurt. But dear Lord, I know you are in control, and I know you can turn this for good. And I'm looking to see how you can turn this for good. You can confess that because you have a relationship, an alliance with God, and you have the right knowledge of God, that He listens to you even when you are in a difficult situation. He says He is close to those who have suffered disappointment. Psalm 34, verse 18. Are you all keeping your fingers in the screen on your page? Verse 18 says He is close to those who have suffered disappointment. F.B. Meyer, the author, says, a bird with a broken wing, an animal with a broken leg, a woman with a broken heart, a man with a broken purpose in life. These seem to drop out of the main currents of life to shadow. They go apart to suffer and droop. The busy rush of life goes on without them. But God draws nigh. He used, of course, a very old English word, nigh. God draws near. God will never overlook the brokenhearted. The contrite spirit is the beaten out spirit, the spirit that has been hammered and flattened. God will not leave the brokenhearted. So it's good to know that God is a medicine and that we can go to Him. When we are discouraged, when we are disappointed, when we have fears, we can go to the Lord because He is the medicine. The reason is sometimes the support that you want may not be available. Sometimes you want a particular person to talk with you, or you want a particular situation to happen, but it's not available to you. Or sometimes you only want a certain kind of support, but it's not available to you. And sometimes that can add on to your existing problem. So don't pursue those things that are in the air, illusion. The reality is God listens to you and He is the medicine. Amen? Amen. The second thing is God acts. God just don't listen only and don't act. God acts. He tells us in verse 4 of Psalm 34, He says, He saved me from all that I fear. 6 and 17 says, He saves me from all my troubles. Verse 18 says, He saves those who are discouraged. 22, He saves His servants. Verse 19, good people have many problems. Oh, even good people have many problems, see? But the Lord will take them all away. Verse 19. And verse 5 says, He will put a smile on your face. Many are the disappointments that you have. Many will be the deliverances of God. When we're going through a tough time, it is not because God doesn't favor us. We are not scorned by God. We are still the object of God's favor. You need to believe that. If you can believe that, they can go through any situation and you will still not be in the cave permanently. I've got a grandson, very active, 4 years old now. He likes to jump. And whenever he jumps, I manage to catch him on time. Like, not all the time, of course, but I manage to catch him on most times because I'm quite vigilant. I try to be as vigilant because I've got a very active grandson. And then when I prevented him from falling, he actually would turn to me with a smile and he would say, "Good job, Mama. You are very strong." Whenever you fall, God will hold on to you and you can turn back to Him with a smile and says, "Good job, God. You got me. I'm good." God protects us. Here it says in verse 7 and 8, the Lord's angel builds a camp around His followers and He protects them. And it says here, give the Lord a chance. Give the Lord a chance to show how good He is. Life is not fair, but God is good. Give Him a chance to show you how good He is. Even during this time, God gives you His angelic presence. You may not see them. They are invisible beings, but they are with you. God grants His angels to go through with you during that period. And in verse 20 and 22, it says, He will protect you completely and not even one of your bones will be broken. And all who go to Him for protection will escape punishment. That's God's part. God is our therapeutic alliance. When we go through difficult time, some of us will have counselors, and that's good to sometimes seek out people who are in this good position to help you at that level. But God is your therapeutic alliance. He is the medicine. And when you go to Him, He will grant you the healing. But we also need to take action. So our action is to learn during the difficult time to brag about the Lord. In verse 2 of verse 34, it says, to brag about the Lord. It is really hard to bless God in times of difficulty, in times of disappointment. But David blessed God. He didn't feel good about his situation. He didn't feel good that his boss was pursuing him and wanting to kill him. He didn't feel good that he has got to have 600 men follow him to a cave and not live in comfort. He didn't feel good, but he lifted his voice towards God. He says, I will praise the Lord at all times, verse 1 and 3. I will not stop singing His praises. Let us honor His name. When you do that act of bragging about the Lord and praising the Lord, you are actually encouraging your soul. When you are discouraged, what you need is encouragement. You don't discourage your soul even much more. I remember when I first came here, I was very sad, of course, you know, because I left behind familiarity and food and friends and family and everything. And I remembered I keep turning on those really sad Mandarin songs. It connected with me, of course, because it really speaks of my innermost being. But every time you have got the music swinging around your head, you will actually feel more and more in that spiral of emotions. You need to encourage yourself. You encourage yourself about the Lord. You may be powerless, but God is on the throne. Okay, God, I'm powerless now. God, I'm so disappointed. But oh God, you are on your throne. You feel encouraged. God, I'm not doing so great, but hey, God, you are still great. And you feel encouraged. God, I may be disgraced, I may be dishonored, I may not be in the best shape, but oh God, you still have honor and you are still in your best shape while you feel empowered. Brag about Him, especially in the cold. Turn on your lights. You know, a lot of times when you are feeling discouraged, you want to off all the lights and, you know, softly. Turn on your lights, brag about the Lord. Because when you brag about the Lord, you magnify Him. See, when you magnify Him, God is still the same size. Doesn't mean that if we praise God, then God becomes bigger. No. God is the same size. He's big all the time. But when you magnify Him, when you praise Him, you perceive God as bigger and bigger and your issues smaller and smaller. Okay, take that medicine. That is the medicine, the Lord Himself, in your bones. When you are discouraged, encourage yourself. David encouraged himself. He wrote so many psalms because that's how he encouraged himself. Brag about the Lord. God, I don't understand this, but hey, Lord, you understand this. Oh, Lord, I'm not able to just, you know, comprehend what has happened to me, but oh, God, you have the whole picture. All right, you show me in your time. Come on, Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen? Well, in Chinese medicine, you know, you just don't have the medicine. You need to pour water, boil it, then you have the soup. So I'm going to give you some soup recipes from also Psalm 34. And the first recipe is your knowledge about triggers. Triggers of fears and discouragement and disappointment. In verse 10, if you read Psalm 34, it says, even strong lions get weak and hungry. So if you feel weak and hungry when you are usually strong, take comfort. Because the Bible tells us in verse 10, even strong lions get weak and hungry. So don't beat yourself up like, oh no, I'm feeling so weak. I'm feeling so hungry. Don't beat yourself up, because even strong lions, no matter how strong you are, you can get weak and hungry. The reason is because you are a human person and you do feel some of those negative emotions. Some emotions are really real and some people are really unfair. Life is really dealing you a bad blow. You have the reason to be weak and hungry. You know, Michael Jordan, the great basketball player, he did not make it for his high school basketball team. You think he's a big lion in basketball? He didn't make it for his high school basketball team. You know, Steven Spielberg, I love his movies, the great director. He was rejected by the University of Southern California film school 3 times. I don't know how they are taking this whole thing now, now that he has shot to such stardom. So we should have had him, we should have trained him. Too late. You know the Beatles? The Beatles were rejected by 3 different record companies. You know the book Chicken Soup for the Soul? It was rejected by publishers 123 times. Now they have sold 80 million copies worldwide. Strong lions get weak and hungry as well. Christians get weak and hungry as well. Don't beat yourself up, yeah? Don't say, oh, why he's so happy? Why he's so good? Why am I feeling this? Don't beat yourself up. Because the Bible tells us, even strong lions get weak and hungry. You need to have knowledge of this, because if not, then you get really, really disappointed with yourself. Disappointment is an emotional response to a failed expectation. You get disappointed because what you expected failed to meet up to what you were wanting. So say, for example, you want 50 people to come to your event. You organize an amazing program. And you thought, wow, a lot of people would have come. You only reserve 50, but only 10 turn up. You won't be ecstatic, that's for sure. You definitely will be disappointed because you have an ideal in your mind. You have a goal. All your efforts, you are planning for 50 people to come, but in reality, only 10 came. There's a gap. 40 people didn't come to your function. You feel disappointment because the attendance doesn't measure up to your expectation. That's how disappointment can hit you. You have an ideal, and something didn't meet up to your expectation, you get disappointed. Or it could be an unresolved conflict. Maybe somebody in your life always comes late and makes you wait for them. Don't hit your neighbor, huh? Because you hit your neighbor, I know who, he's a late one. And it is disappointing because you've always been making efforts to come earlier. And it is only resolved if they begin to come earlier. If they continue to come late, you will still be very disappointed. So people can make you feel disappointed when they don't want to resolve a certain conflict, and it can be any other situations. But disappointment need only be for moments. You get disappointed for moments. You must not let your disappointment become long episodes. Because if you let it become long episodes, then you suffer a lot all the time, because life is going to throw you disappointments. Disappointment is unavoidable. Because people are not perfect. Are you also not perfect? I'm also not perfect. And so we disappoint a lot of people and we get disappointed. That's life. Hey, it's unavoidable. Don't pray, oh God, don't give me disappointment. But you need to manage expectation. You manage your expectation. Maybe you're having too high an expectation. Maybe you need to lower expectations. Maybe you say, but I've already lowered all expectations. It's now ground zero. Oh, that's good. Don't have expectations. Because people are not like you. You may be able to do certain things. People may not be able to do certain things. And you can't push them. The switch is not on your side. The switch is in the other person. If the person doesn't want to switch on his switch, you can't do anything about it. And then you get all the time disappointed. Don't do that. Okay? Learn how to deal with disappointments. Short episodes. Keep them very short. Disappointed, get over it. Bounce back. But discouragement can be avoided. Don't keep getting so disappointed until you get so discouraged and then you hide in a cave all the time and you keep thinking about what is wrong. You keep thinking about what is in the past. You keep thinking how you have been treated, how people have responded to you. You keep thinking you've been a failure or because of what you've done or what you have not done. You keep thinking like that. It's like a cloud that overshadows you. And when discouragement overshadows you, you feel no joy. People talk about good morning. You say, what's so good about the morning? No joy, no peace. You have a lack of confidence. And you may even have a divided mind, like you don't know what to do anymore. Discouraged. And sometimes in your discouragement, you may look for someone to blame, like, this must be due to somebody. Maybe it's God, like you get mad with God. God, if you are sovereign, you won't allow this to happen. Oh, why did you allow this to happen? You're mad with God. See, when you're discouraged, you can really get negative, you can really get upset and get angry. And sometimes you can even think, okay, this is the way life is. It's terrible, it's miserable. If I don't get what I want this time, I'll never get what I want. And then you You become even more negative. You become even more scared, more discouraged. You think you missed it? You missed it forever. No. Stop right there. When you miss something, God wants to give you another divine appointment. He's going to give you a reappointment. And if He doesn't give you another appointment of the same kind, He's going to give you something that will make you smile. That's God. I love Him. That's God. So, and don't internalize it. Don't say, okay, this has happened to me. This is a great disappointment. I'm a loser. I'm a failure. If I don't get what I want, it means I'm not good enough. I don't deserve it. To be humble is not saying I don't deserve it. To be humble is you deserve it, but you don't say it out loud. That's pretty good. It's not in my notes. I'm going to listen to the... You need to have knowledge about the triggers. Because when you have knowledge about the triggers, you don't get triggered easily. You know how to bounce back easily. All right? So deal with disappointments as they come. They're going to happen all the time. Because you know why? We are raised with expectations. Especially when we tell you, be excellent. And then you go and do a job that is maybe not so excellent and you beat yourself up like, oh, I can't even do this. I can't. Stop. We are just telling you what you can become when you are 85. No. You know, life is a progress, is a journey, isn't it? Whatever we share with you, we want you to be able to practice today and practice till you are 85 and 102. So that when we meet Jesus, we said we are able to live out what you wanted us to live out. But don't beat yourself up. Know the triggers. It's important to know the triggers so that the soup that you put with the medicine is going to help you. Got it? You want to know another soup recipe? You need to have another knowledge. The knowledge of what we call the right response. There's a wrong response. And there's a right response. You have to have the knowledge of the right response. David said, children, come and listen to me. Verse 11. David said, come, listen to me. Now, if David is negative, why would you listen to him? Why would you want to listen to negative people? Have you actually listened to negative people? You can listen to them with them maybe over lunch one time, but if you keep listening to the same script all the time, you're out of there. David said, children, come and listen. And he asked in verse 12, he says, do you want to enjoy life? This is a man in a cave, confronted with fears, disappointment, and discouragement. He asked, do you want to enjoy life? Do you want to have many happy days? And this brought me to one point, and that is, don't ask why, consider what. In difficult situations, don't ask why. Like, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to this person? Don't ask why. You keep asking why, you will keep retreating to your cave because you may not be able to get answers. Instead, you ask what. Because the test on David has become a testimony. Pastor Pedro said last week, your test in your life can become a testimony. And this testimony is used to encourage other people. That's why David said, come and listen. Even though I have gone through this, I've got a lesson for you because I've been through that myself. I've turned my test into a testimony. And so now I'm able to encourage you. That's why in verse 14, he says, look for peace and do all you can to help people live peacefully. Your test becomes a testimony. Your test becomes an experience that you can share with brothers and sisters in the faith so that we can be encouraged. We come to church and we hear stories, not of doom and gloom. We hear stories of faith and we're like, wow, I've got hope in my situation. I'm going to look forward to whatever has been shared. And I'm going to ask the Lord for help, ask the medicine to come and heal me. Consider what testimony of rescue, what testimony of deliverance can you encourage other people with? What's God using you this time to mold you so that you can be a blessing to other people? God is using something to mold you during this time so that you can encourage other people, so that you are able to share the compassion of Christ to other people, because you yourself have experienced the compassion of Christ during the time that you are not so encouraged. Don't ask why. Why will bring you further in to the cave. Ask what. What story are you coming up with when you come out of the cave to encourage brothers and sisters in the faith and also encourage yourself? Amen. Secondly, is to deal with the hurts. Don't stash away discouragement. Don't stash away disappointment. Don't stash away things that are important. Because it says in verse 13, never let a lie come out of your mouth. How are you? I'm fine. Anything I can pray for? Nothing. Everything smooth? Yes. When you're going through a real huge storm, of course, we don't tell everybody our problems. We don't want to, you know, keep rehearsing all those things we're going through in our lives. We don't want to watch Dirty Linen. We have learned all that, yeah? But he says, never let a lie come out of your mouth. When you are in your discouraging moments, do find a person that we are able to even talk to so that we are able to bounce ideas off them, able to share your discouraging situation so that the other person can help you. Sometimes it's also to go to the person who have discouraged you. I know this is very tough, but you've got to learn to be brave. Sometimes you may need to go to the person to say, look, I've actually been quite hurt. You're being honest. I'm not asking you to be open and offensive like, you know what? You've hurt me 123 times. You know. I'm saying you go in the humility of your attitude and sometimes be able to express your needs and your emotions to this person who have hurt you. I know of many, many situations in my life and in the lives of other people that after such a time where they can be open to with this person and be honest, of course, the initial period is a little bit awkward and tough, but it actually will heal the relationship, and the long-term prospect of this relationship is actually a lot better. Or register yourself in a course to learn how you can deal with the hurt. Sometimes it's all in the back burner. You don't know that you are hurt because you've learned to keep a lot of things in your innermost part of you. And sometimes you forget that you are being hurt. And are you hurt? No. Are you discouraged? No. Are you disappointed? No. Everything is fine. But inside, really bad. When the music is on in the house, wow. All your emotions let loose and nobody knew about it. Learn to have the ability to express your needs and your emotions. That is important. And if it is not possible, sometimes it's just not possible to tell someone because the risk is too great or you just don't want it or you don't have the words for it, that's okay. That's fine. But you need to release. You need to release the hurt that has been caused to you. Release it and say, oh God, this person has hurt me. This person has said something really disappointing. I'm very upset with it. But oh Lord, I don't think I want to do anything about it. Help me, dear Lord, release it to you and see how things come along. That way you live free. You don't keep projecting bad attitudes in your life and continue to be discouraged all the time. Amen? Amen? And the last one is, don't say hurtful things. When you are discouraged and disappointed, sometimes we say hurtful things. That's why in verse 13, David says, avoid saying anything hurtful. Stop doing anything evil and do good. See, when people are disappointed and discouraged, it's very, very easy to hurt others with their words, hurt themselves with their own words, with their own actions. Heal the hurts. Ask the Lord to heal those hurts so that you will not hurt others. And don't keep living in the rut. climb out of the rut. Say, it's enough time. I have given my thoughts an airing space. It's enough time. I want to climb out of it. Take every thought that is negative captive. Fight the thoughts. Wrestle them down. Don't let the thoughts that are negative sort of like win over you. And replace your thoughts with messages that enhances your self-confidence in the Lord. Encourage yourself. Learn to encourage yourself. Learn to pat your own shoulders. It's a good job. People might not see it. I'm too busy to appreciate you, but good job. Use your tongue to bless yourself and other people, because we are told in Proverbs 18:21, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Increase positive actions. David says to do good. Even when you are discouraged, disappointed, and fearful, do good. Go out and do something. The action of doing good will actually dispel discouragement. You try it. It's very strange, but you try it. Go do good, and you begin to see your life take a different shape from its original. You cannot keep asking God to fix the problem that you keep feeding. Don't feed your problems. You're discouraged? Feed it with encouragement. Don't feed it with discouragement. When you're down, don't feed it with messages that make you feel more down. Feed it with messages that makes you feel up. And God is the medicine. Go to Him for healing. I just pray that whatever you are going through, whether it is fear, disappointment, or discouragement, that you will become better in dealing with them. And when all these fears emerge, I pray that your faith will emerge much more, because God is a God of faith and He will empower you with the faith to go through anything and everything. When you're disappointed, know that God will reappoint you. God is a God of a lot of divine appointments. If you are disappointed, okay, get over it. Be in the cave for a while. Don't let it stretch for too long, but get over it. Come out of it. Don't let your conversation be negative. And that believing that God will give you fresh, new, divine appointments again. And when you are discouraged, know that God wants to encourage you. And you yourself learn to encourage yourself, just like David did. One of my best verses, and I submit it to my Bible college assignment. What is your best verse? And that's a verse, David encouraged himself. He knows how to encourage himself. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. God is here. Hallelujah. When our soul is distressed, we need medicine for the soul. God is the medicine. He's here. He's here. Won't you just tell the Lord what is in your heart pertaining to fears or disappointments or discouragement? Won't you tell Him? Tell Him this morning. He's here to listen to you, and He's here to act for you. Thank you, Lord. You're so good, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for my brothers and my sisters and for myself. Lord, there are times when we don't understand why a lot of things are happening to us, but oh dear God, we know that You are with us. Oh Lord, we know that, dear Lord, You are there to comfort us. You are there, dear Lord, to save us and to protect us and to provide ways of escape Oh, dear Lord, we thank you for this morning. Your word has been preached, oh Lord. The truth is out that, oh God, you are the one who will save us and protect us. I pray for greater faith to arise in my brothers and my sisters, whatever situation, whether it's personal, work related, our children, our parent, whatever it is, oh Lord, we submit ourselves to you, knowing, oh God, that you are here this morning for us. You will put a smile on our face. I pray joy will return to your people. Once again, your people will be able to rejoice. Oh, because their faith, oh Lord, in you has not wavered. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
No sorrow or pain.
Hallelujah. Let's raise our hand to the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, we want to brag about you. Whatever situation we are in, dear Lord, you are in control. Oh Lord, you know our pain, our tears, our sorrow. But oh dear Lord, you have joy reserved for us. They are not meant, oh Lord. Situations in life are not meant to harm us or to kill us or to destroy us, oh Lord. But they are to let us know, dear Lord, you are in control. And we just have to boast about you, oh God. I will praise you at all times. With our lips, we will praise you. We will lift you up, oh God, as David did, oh Lord. I pray, dear Lord, that you will encourage our soul. Whatever situation we are in, Father, I pray that your people will learn how to raise their hands to you, lift their hearts to you, sing praises to you until their soul gets encouraged. I pray that, God, you will give your people the knowledge of you. You, oh God, who will promise to be with us. You will give your people knowledge of how things are attacking us. And you will give your people, oh Lord, the knowledge how you can respond, how they can respond, so that, Lord, they will be a people of faith. A people of faith, not a people of pain, not a people of sorrow, not a people of tears, though we go through that, but we'll be known as a people of faith. And that, God, you are so pleased to see us because we are a people of faith. Grant your people courage, O Lord. And I speak divine appointments to make your people smile again in Jesus' name. And God's people say, amen, amen, amen. Amen.